Well, that takes quite a few. Praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along from Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 32 through 42, that's where we're going to be studying this morning. Last week we saw Jesus and his disciples share the Passover on the evening before his crucifixion. Jesus knew that he was the Passover lamb. He was well aware of that, whose blood would be shed the next day. He knew Jesus would be, he knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. And he actually knew that all the disciples were going to leave. And when Peter denied him three times, he said, "I never knew the man." And according to the Greek language, in the last time that he denied him, he did so with a curse. Yet Jesus loved them, no matter what they did, and showed them his love by washing their feet. Now let me emphasize once again that Jesus did not ordain a new system for the church. In fact, this is the only time in Scripture where washing of feet is mentioned. And it wasn't the washing of feet that was important. It's what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. He was trying to teach the disciples that they needed to serve one another. Not only did they need to serve each other, but they needed to look out from where they were and serve other people. And I gave you a couple of illustrations that I experienced that way. So Jesus loved them, showed them this love by washing their feet. And you know, mouthy Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet. Absolutely not." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part in my kingdom." And so immediately Peter said, "Well, wash it all. Wash my head, wash my hands, wash my feet." One translation says, "Wash my whole body." So that's kind of the up and down of Peter. But the point of washing feet was to teach us to serve one another. And that's what we need to put in our hearts and our minds this morning. Jesus was burdened in his heart at the Passover meal because he knew what was coming down the tube. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he was going to be taken out, terribly treated, smacked in the face, said things that you don't want to hear, and finally go to the cross. So immediately after the Passover meal, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where we're going to spend our time this morning, is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a slide that we want to look at. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." That is, he left eight of the disciples outside the actual garden, and he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." I want you to get that, because every system, Luke also emphasizes that he was so distraught that he was at the point of death. They stay here and keep watch. Mark 14, 32 through 34. Gethsemane was on the Mount of Olives. This is an interesting place because this is where the olives were crushed and they retrieved the oil. And the oil was used for cooking and for lighting lamps. I think it's interesting that Jesus came to the Garden of Gethsemane because he was going to be crushed. Everything that Jesus was going to be crushed, and he was going to be our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Lord. And so he wound up at the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a very valuable commodity, the oil that was taken from the olives. And we can't find a more valuable commodity than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples probably spent a lot of time in Gethsemane, sleeping under the olive trees. This is where Jesus did some of his major teaching to the disciples. Yes, it was a place of crushing. There's no question about that. He was totally crushed to provide for us eternal life. Jesus and the disciples probably had spent many nights sleeping under the olive trees. Judas must have been quite certain that Jesus would go there on this night. Jesus knew what lay ahead of him in just a few hours. Try to put yourself in that situation, knowing that in just a few hours you are going to be betrayed by somebody who has been with you throughout your ministry. And so Judas understood that this is probably where Jesus would be. And so he said to the people, "The one I kiss, he's the one you want to arrest." And that's exactly what he did. The cause of his pain and deep sorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ was what was going on. It was a terrible situation. And I don't think that we can really understand how deeply he was hurt and how much of everything that he did caused great drops of blood. Listen to this illustration. Attempt to imagine that the most vile, disgusting, foul-smelling fluids in a vat in front of you, all infected with mad cow disease, AIDS, and other awful diseases, plus decayed flesh. And then see if you can picture yourself smelling the aroma, which makes your stomach turn in disgust. Would you be able to even take a tiny taste of such a dreadful thing? As bad as that is, it still would not fully describe what Jesus experienced that night. Jesus had done no sin. He was perfect in every respect. But he understood that he would become sin for all mankind. Think about that. He's going to take your sin and my sin and the sin of every human being, past, present, and future. And he's going to go to the cross and he's going to die for those sins. When he went to the cross, it was for your, you weren't born, you weren't there, but he took care of your sin even at that point. Took care of my sin at that point. Took care of all the sin of everyone when he went to the cross. He also knew that for the first time and only time in all eternity, the Father would be forced to turn away from him. And he would suffer and die on our behalf. Jesus suffered this way for us, for me, and for you. Let's not forget that. How often do you think about, hey, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for bearing my sin. Thank you for making it possible for me to live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus worked through this overwhelming sorrow through prayer. He took Peter, James, and John with him because they were close friends, but they couldn't stay awake. And this is what the slide says. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. What cup was he talking about? The terrible cup of going to the cross and dying for you and for me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. That's found in Mark 14, verses 35 through 36. Jesus prayed to the Father. Let's examine how Jesus prayed. I don't think that we can ever understand fully what Jesus Christ experienced. He cried out, Abba, Father. Jesus was praying to the wonderful Father that he knew intimately. Abba is an Aramaic word that conveyed tremendous love, goodness, and closeness, including one he knew full well and he could fully trust. And so he cried out, Abba, Father, I love you, I trust you, but is it possible for there to be another way to make it possible for sins to be forgiven for all people? But when you or I are in Gethsemane, like experiences of Gethsemane, wherever it might be, it could be in a hospital room. And we've had people in our congregation who have dealt with not just close friends, but loved ones. Maybe in a courtroom. Maybe in a graveside. Anytime we feel the loneliness of pain and isolation, we need to cry out, Abba, Father. Because that's a word of love and consideration as we draw close to the Lord. Jesus declared, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, is what he asked the Father. The cup refers to the burden that Jesus was taking on himself, praying for the sin of all the world and experiencing the wrath of God for that sin. Jesus knew that everything was possible with Abba, Father. But it was not possible for the Father to remove the cup from Jesus and also to accomplish redemption for us. Couldn't do both. It was necessary for Jesus Christ to go to the cross and become sin on your behalf and my behalf. He had to carry the sin of the whole world. And it was only through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, the scripture says there is no redemption. So it was necessary. God knew that his son had to do this in order for salvation to come to each and every one of us. Without him going to the cross, we would still be in our sin. We would have no hope. We would look forward to nothing except death. And that death would be not just death, it would be a final death. It would be a death that would last forever and ever and ever. So, Jesus said to his Father, all things are possible with you. If it's possible, would you remove this cup from me? Is there any other way? But Jesus always said, as he prayed, not my will, but yours. Three times he went out and prayed exactly the same prayer. And every time he came back, Peter, James, and John were asleep. They couldn't stay awake to pray with him for even 1 hour. And probably he prayed for an hour each time that he went out. Three times he prayed the same thing. Take this cup from me, but not what I will, but what you will. How many times are we faced with a situation where we need to say, not my will, but your will? And sometimes that's difficult. Most biblical students believe that Jesus prayed for at least 1 hour. Three times, Jesus likely prayed that much. And we have to ask ourselves, how much do we pray? How much do we touch the Lord? Father, if it's possible, find some other way except this cup. But the most important thing is your will, not mine. Returning the third time, he said to his disciples, are you still sleeping and resting enough? The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. I want you to understand that Jesus was in such a place. As he went through this, he said twice, I'm at the point of death. And in the Gospel of Luke, it says that an angel came and ministered to him and strengthened him. And so on this last occasion, we see a difference in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is now ready to go and experience the cross. Father, I shall drink the cup. There is no other way. Your will is always the right way. You love these people you have created, and I love them also. I now willingly submit my will to yours. We need to remember that. How often are we faced with a situation where we wonder whether we should or whether we shouldn't? Are we willing to submit to his will in that situation? I surrender to your perfect will. Victory, he said, is ours. And certainly it was. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus won the battle of complete surrender to the will of God. He came to a definite one-time act of consecration and unconditional surrender to God. Boy, if we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to think about that. How many times do we need to just surrender to the Lord? How many times do we need to say, Lord, your will, not mine, be done? The ultimate triumph was to take place that day at Calvary. You know, it's interesting that Judas came and kissed the Lord. And what had he brought out there? An army. soldiers, people with clubs and whatever. And Jesus said, what do you think I am that you bring so many people out here? He said, you could have arrested me any day in the temple because I was there preaching, teaching. You could have done that. And so here you come with all of these people to take care of me. And so one of the disciples, cut the ear off of one of the people who were there. And Jesus didn't like that, so he touched and healed that. And he was ready to go. And so they took him, and when they took him, I want you to understand what they did to him. They hit him in the face. They spit on him. They did all manner of evil against him. And finally, they took him out to the cross, and Simon of Cyrene was captured to carry the cross of Christ to the place of crucifixion. But Jesus hung upon that cross and did what the Lord wanted him to do. He died for you, and he died for me. Amen. At least one amen. Praise the Lord. I hope the rest of you feel the same way. You are only here today because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You only have the remission of sin because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You only have joy because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You only have power because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was willing to do that on your behalf and my behalf. And what he suffered, we can't even imagine. It was so great. So praise the Lord for that. It was a cruel cross. Jesus marched ahead in victory to the trials and the crucifixion that lay ahead of him. Here we see the depth of love. I don't know how else I can say it. We see the depth of the love of God. Courage, strength, surrender of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a short time before, he was collapsed in emotional distress and prayer. Wow. Now he won the battle. An angel came and strengthened him. And now he was different. He was willing to stand before those people who wanted to arrest him and beat him and whatever they did to him. It was terrible. So let's review Jesus' battle in the garden. Jesus experienced great sorrow. He was so distraught that he sweat drops of blood. There's a scientific word for that, and that's when the how do I want to say that? When there's enough pressure that it appears that blood comes out. Scientific word for that is tremoditis. And that's what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the scripture says he sweat drops of blood. Because he actually did. And we can't begin to imagine what it's like to be so distraught and so concerned about what's going to happen that we sweat drops of blood. Wow. What an amazing thing. Jesus experienced great sorrow. He would bear all a man's sins. He bore your sin and my sin. Jesus prayed to his Father. He asked for another way, but the Father said, no, there's no other way. And Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. And he walked into that situation and was crucified on our behalf. Jesus won victory, and we're so thankful for that. He fully surrendered his will to the will of the Father. And that's a real good lesson. So many times we are faced with situations where we need to submit to the Lord instead of to ourselves. And how many times do we say, well, Lord, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. I'll do what I want to do instead of what you want me to do. We are faced with that a lot, especially in this day and age. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. Would you surrender to him today? I ask that almost every week, and I know that there are people here who need to surrender to the Lord. I can't make you surrender to the Lord. If you can't understand what Jesus went through on your behalf, I don't know what it takes for anybody to surrender to the Lord when they know what Jesus went through when he said, not my will, but yours be done. And he was willing to go to the cross for you and for me. So our hymn of invitation this morning is, Lord, lift your name on high. And that's what we need to do. Lift the name of the Lord on high. Wow. Let's be standing as we sing.